We're doing the Sefer Amidot, and we're up to page Kuf Tet, and we're at the conclusion of the 18th chapter, which is really the conclusion of the Shaar HaDat. And he had discussed the faithfulness of the Torah, and he says, you know, if you look at Avraham Avinu, his greatness was in standing up to 10 tests, because simple things that to us might be challenging, to him were not, as Avraham had godly revelation. So if Hashem appears to a person, why shouldn't he believe in Hashem? So then the difficulties Avraham had to overcome was the fact that Hashem seemed to contradict himself, was the fact that suddenly the world did not work out the way it should have, now that he realized that Hashem was running the world. And the same thing applies to us when we suddenly encounter a mitzvah that seems to go in conflict with our nature. When suddenly you encounter a mitzvah that doesn't seem to work for us, and we have to say, okay, but if God said so, that's what I'm going to do. It's not so simple to turn off your cell phone on Shabbos. It's not so simple to fast for Yom Kippur. But okay, if that's the mitzvah, then the one who created the world and knows what's good for me, he told me that's what's good for me. So provided that we're healthy, provided that we can do it, so we accept it. And that, he says, is what we call faith, because there are places when the Torah doesn't seem to jive with us, doesn't resonate with us. We see the mitzvah and we say, okay, so God said so, but you know, I really don't think so. If I had an editor's pen here, I'd put a parenthesis around that mitzvah in the Torah. But God said so, what am I supposed to do? So the Magen Midovna says that's what we call emunah, when we talk about faith. And we pointed out throughout the first 18 chapters of this book that the Magen Midovna keeps developing a logic, Shaar HaDat. This whole section of the work was about dat, about understanding. People misappropriate the word faith. They think it means you're not supposed to understand Judaism, just go on faith. No! We spent a whole long 18 chapters here exploring the logical side, understanding what makes sense, and understanding what we can about the wisdom and the truth of the Torah. So he says, okay, so now that I'm about to finish this whole section, so where does faith come in? If it all makes sense, so where do you need faith? Says the Magen Midovna, because sometimes some things don't exactly resonate with us. So for Avraham Avinu, that was easy because God appeared to him. So God had to give him 10 tests, which seemed to be contradictory to everything that he thought God stood for. Where the ultimate test was, God tells him, go slaughter your son, and he's going to ask himself, God told me that? I thought this was all about not slaughtering little boys. But he doesn't do that. He says, God said, so okay, he knows. But that was the test. He still davens. Ve'ulai, the Magen Midovna continues and says on page Kuftet, and perhaps, Zeorat Ma'amaramzal, this is what our sages meant when they said in the Medrash on the Pasuk, Ani Hashem, God often gives us a commandment and concludes it with the line, I am God. So our sages said, Ne'man Neshalem Sachar, you can trust me, I'll still pay you back. Ritzono Lomar, maybe the interpretation in the Medrash is as follows. I am really the source of all influence, anything that can happen to you in life. And I grant life, be it life that goes in sync with the laws of nature, or life that seems to go out of sync with the laws of nature. Because if we take a look at the early history, when the Jewish people left Egypt, and they crossed the sea became dry land for them, and they witnessed the Egyptians lying there dead at the edge of the sea. And behind, what were they leaving behind? The greatest country in the world. A country that's described like the Garden of Eden. All the men of the country were lying there dead. There was no one left in control of their own homes. They could have said, wait a second, let's do an about face. What are we going to the desert for? All the Egyptian men who could have fought a war are dead at our feet. What, Moshe, leave Canaan. Let's go back to Egypt. We know the country. We know how to work it. We'll have a good crop next year. We'll manage. Moshe, we have all the wealth. We could import food for 1 year. Next year, we'll reestablish the country. Wouldn't that have made more sense than to go travel into a desert? God's telling us to go to the desert, but all the Egyptian men are dead here at our feet. Let's go back and inhabit Egypt again. We could become the new empire. ושמעו לכל משה. But the Jews listened to Moshe, והלכו אחריו למדבר נחש שרף והקרב. And they followed Moshe into a desert that was a lethal desert, a desert with snakes and serpents and scorpions. Oh my! Eretz lo avar ba'ish, a land where no one ever traversed this country. No one made it across this desert alive. Lo mikom zera v'gefen. This wasn't a place with vegetation and grapevines. Alchu kulam. And you know what? Everyone went. It wasn't like, you know, when the army takes a battalion out, they check, are you fit for it? Can you stand the heat? Can you stand the cold? Can you stand living out in these conditions? No, we're going out into the desert. All 2 million of us. Na'arim uzkenim, the young, the old, top and ashim, the kids, the women. Belo mazon u'michya, they didn't have food. You're going out into the desert, 2 million people, and you don't have food for 2 million people? And the one who grants life, he gave us everything we needed out there in the desert for 40 years. Which, by the way, to my mind, is a more fantastic miracle than the revelation. To my mind, you know, the Rishonim don't seem to say what I'm saying. But to my mind, the fact that 2 million people lasted in the desert, men, women, children, for 40 years, that blows me away. Every time people say, well, maybe the great revelation was a farce, I say, but what are you going to do with 40 years in the desert, 2 million people? How do you make that one up? That to my mind is like, wow. K'mamar, as the verse says, Hador atim ru dvar Hashem, v'amidbar hayiti liYisrael. Jeremiah turns to the people and says, what are you guys so worried about? Why don't you look back to your predecessors? Didn't I take good care of them out in the desert? Ki lo hergishu imem b'amidbar achar ki lo chasru damar. The Jewish people are going across the most ferocious desert, and they don't feel it because they're lacking nothing. We today are also like that generation. Look at the Jewish people, the Magid Midovna writes 200 years ago. We just celebrated a 200th anniversary since his passing. So the book was written about 250 years ago. He says, we don't have any territory. We've been chased out of our homeland. V'goaleinu chazak. But our Redeemer is powerful, Hashem Shmo, His name is God. La'azav chasdo imanu. He hasn't reneged on His promise to us. He hasn't left His kindness from us. Umfanes otanu brachamim gdolim v'niflaim. He sustains us with tremendous mercy, with awesome mercy. Kasher efli lasot mavateinu b'midbar. Just as He did with our forefathers. Ven beinenu ven dor ha'midbar. And the only difference between us and that generation of the desert, kim v'midbar ayu nisim niglim le'en kol le'enei basar. In the desert, their miracles were something that everyone could see. And now, you just have to think about the fact that the Jewish people have lasted so many years among so many countries without a homeland, and we're still thriving. We're still alive and kicking. Yeah. And how great is the prophet's testimonial in the name of God? The prophet says, go fight with your mother. Fight with her. She says, she's not my wife, and I'm not her husband. Really? You know what? I'm going to declothe her, and then I'll put her out in her birthday clothes, and I'll put her out in the desert, and you know what? And even so, she'll find vineyards out there in the desert. And then she's going to start talking like she did back when our relationship began. She says, I'm not her husband. I'll show her I'm still her husband. When she needed me, when I took her out of Egypt, then she remembered who I was. So the prophet says in Hosea, go fight with your mother. Why does she keep saying she's not my wife? If I need to, I'll prove it. And the Magid Midovna says, that proof has come in the form of this tremendous exile. All those years we've been out here, so to speak, without our husband. And Hashem keeps taking care of us in the most excruciating circumstances, where nation after nation has vowed to annihilate us. And Hashem keeps ensuring that we remain. And what we've said is clear, as we've said. And being that this is so, ra'uy el ha'adam l'kayem ma'amar chachmenu ha'kadoshim. So if we come to this realization, then we should also fulfill our end, what our sages taught us, Bater Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono. A person should be willing to forego his own will before the will of his Creator. Because it's something that's easily identifiable. that our whole existence, our food, our life, everything is really beyond nature, if you think about it. By the same token, a person should know and trust that the mitzvos of the Torah are really the source of life and healing. Even though sometimes we don't understand it. All he has to do is look at himself. And he has to look at his own life and realize, does my own life really make sense to me? Do I understand my own life? Can I perceive what exactly keeps me ticking? As the verse says, God says, I'll put her in that situation and then she'll start talking like she did in the time I took her out of Egypt. He concludes this section of the book saying, and you, Hashem, with your goodwill, we await your rebuilding of Zion, you're rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim. Amen.